everyone. Welcome to the fourth episode of the Magic of the Season podcast. And as much as I have anticipated this one, I know this means it's the last warm and fuzzy holiday until the fall again. Easter is one of those holidays that has so many traditions attached to it, religious and non, but most of all, it has an element of magic and wonder that I think we can all probably relate to. I enlisted some help for this episode from my Christmas podcast network friends and also some followers. I asked them to share their favorite or most memorable Easters for whatever reasons, families, hunts, gifts, chocolates, you name it. So grab your hot cocoa, get cozy, because it's story time.
Hello, Ashley, and hello, the Magic of the Season podcast listeners. This is Anthony of Tis the Podcast, the podcast that's determined to keep the Christmas spirit alive 365 days per year. And I just wanted to wish you all a very happy Easter or Passover and other holidays, springtime holidays. Happy springtime if you don't celebrate any holidays. In terms of Easter traditions, normally growing up, the Easter Bunny would leave a bunch of plastic eggs full of candy and chocolate and even money all around the house. And then he would leave me and my sister a basket full of toys and stuff, what we wanted, toys, books, etc. And in terms of traditions, usually we would go to my cousin Jamie's house. Her and her husband Tommy hosted it because they had the youngest kids. And as I've talked about on our podcast before, the people with the youngest kids throw the holidays, whether it's Easter or Christmas. Now, as we've gotten older, obviously the Easter Bunny has stopped visiting me and my sister and my wife and my brother-in-law. And my families get smaller as you get older in a lot of ways. Grandparents and older relatives die out. And most of my cousins aren't at the age where they've started having children yet. So my parents, me and Sarah, and a few other relatives are just going out for dinner this Easter Sunday, keeping it nice and simple and quiet, and it should just be nice spending time together. I don't have any real big Easter memories that stand out to me, except for the one Christmas slash Easter story I told in my podcast a few years ago. So bear with me if you've heard the story before, and if any young kids are listening with their parents, this may be a time you want to turn this off and wait to play this story until the kids aren't around, given the fact that I will be revealing certain hard truths in this story. All right, so 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, so the year I found out there was no Santa Claus, which I know is a weird way to start an Easter story, but bear with me. The year I found out there was no Santa Claus, it happened in December, like maybe a week before Christmas. I was in the fourth grade, and back in the 90s, there used to be catalogs parents could write away to. So Santa would send their kids a letter, and essentially you would give this company your child's name, certain information about them, like toys they wanted, the name of a best friend or a pet or something. So it was personalized, like Santa wrote it. And my parents always got me and my sister these letters growing up. So this year, I was in the fourth grade, so I was 9, 10 years old. I think probably 10. No, I was younger for my age, so 9. I was so excited to get my letter, I brought it into class to show my teacher. And my teacher thought it was awesome, but the girl up the street named Amanda laughed at me and told me there's no such thing as Santa Claus. Now, in my heart of hearts, I knew this had to be a lie. So I went home and asked my parents, and they decided to tell me the truth. And I will never forget it, because Frosty the Snowman was on TV on CBS, and I took it hard. I cried, and I cried, and my mother was crying, because, you know, her child was growing up. He just found out there was no Santa Claus. My dad was comforting us both. And after a good hour of this, I took a deep breath and finally calmed down. I was like, all right, well, Santa may not be real, but at least the Easter Bunny is. And I just remember my parents exchanging a look, and then it hit me like a ton of bricks. and I started bawling again and screamed, "Does that mean the Easter Bunny's not real either?" So a week before Christmas, when I was in the fourth grade, I found out Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny were both not real at the exact same time. So it was, in a way, easier for me to get over the Santa revelation than the Easter Bunny revelation. And I don't know why that is, but I'm still scarred by the Easter Bunny more than Santa nowadays. Of course, as any true Christmas aficionado or holiday aficionado in general knows, when you grow up, you regain the magic and you regain the belief. Because, of course, it's the idea of Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. And we all keep those two larger-than-life figures alive in our hearts and our minds and for our children and cousins and friends and family and everybody like that. So, I mean, look at me now. I host a year-round Christmas podcast with Tom and Julia, and we delve into other holidays like Easter and Halloween and stuff. So the magic came back to me for sure. Anyway, y'all, Ashley, thanks for giving me a chance to send something in for your Easter episode. And listeners and Ashley, I hope you all have a wonderful Easter again.
So I grew up in a non-religious house where holidays were formed around the kids and seeing family, and whatever crazy lie my parents could get us to get on board with. But as we started to make our way through elementary school, it became clear to me that Easter was more than just bunnies and Easter chocolate. Easter actually originated as an ancient pagan celebration of the spring equinox. In Christianity, the day that was dedicated to observing the resurrection of Jesus Christ celebrated around the same time of the Jewish Passover. However, with the spread of the gospel of Christ, early Christians who did not participate in Jewish custom eventually merged their observances with the pagan spring festival, recognizing Easter as Resurrection Day. Easter is one of the principal holidays or feasts of Christianity. It marks the resurrection of Jesus 3 days after his death by crucifixion. For many Christian churches, Easter is the joyful end to the Lenten season. The earliest recorded observance of Easter comes from the 2nd century, though it is likely that even the earliest Christians commemorated the resurrection. Now, if you were like me and you wondered why rabbits had anything to do with Easter and why they pooped chocolate eggs, well, here's the myths behind the legends. One of the most recognizable symbols associated with Easter is the Easter egg. This symbol can be traced back to 1700 BC. It was said that an egg had fallen from heaven into the river and hatched the goddess of fertility. Pagans exchange eggs as gifts during their springtime festival. Today, eggs are painted in bright colors and they're used in decorations and popular Easter egg hunts. And when it comes to the reasons why the rabbit is associated with Easter, one of the more common analogies is that, much like the egg, rabbits have always represented the spring and fertility.
Hey there, this is Julian, aka that.christmasguy on TikTok. Now, growing up, Christmas was obviously the biggest holiday for us, but Easter was probably the second biggest holiday for us. We weren't a faith-based family, but during the holidays, especially Easter and Christmas, we took time to spend time with each other. Now, growing up, we weren't in the same province as a lot of my other family. We were in Alberta, and the rest of the family was either in BC or in Ontario, but I do remember some time with my grandma. Now, I couldn't tell you how old I was for this memory or when it was, but I have a distinct memory of my grandma singing, "In your Easter bonnet, with all the frills upon it, you'll be the grandest lady at the Easter parade," while she worked in the kitchen and making hot cross buns. I wasn't a fan of hot cross buns, but I did love my grandma's hot cross buns because of the love that was put into them. Also, growing up, we had a little Easter tree, as we called it. We would go out and cut a half a dozen or a dozen branches of pussy willows, and we had little Easter ornaments that we would hang off of them. Now, in our family, along with all the chocolate we got, my sister and I each would always get one present from the Easter Bunny. And I distinctly, one year, I got the best bits of Mr. Bean on VHS, and I watched that so many times. And for Easter, we were a ham family, and I much prefer ham over turkey. Now for me, Easter means a lot more, as I have become faith-based in my life. At my church, Easter is probably the second biggest day of the year after Christmas. Kids ministry is really big at my church, and I just absolutely love watching the kids at Easter run around and get hyped up on chocolate and learning about what Easter is about. But there's some memories of Easter and what Easter means to me now. Keep up the great work, Ashley. Love listening to your podcast.
Now, I'm going to paint a picture for you. Close your eyes and imagine spring of 1999. None of it is established as a Canadian territory, and Wayne Gretzky played his last game in the NHL. I was 9 years old. It was Sunday, and the Easter Bunny had been. I was the first one up, as usual, because I could never sleep in for occasions like Easter or Christmas. Unlike my brothers, who chose sleep over fun way too often. I remember waking up, turning on my light, and seeing a basket with the most adorable soft teddy in it. I remember grabbing it out of the basket and smothering it. It was one of those Russ brand teddy bears, and I was obsessed with them. I looked in the mirror on the back of my door to check out how cute the bear looked. But then I noticed there was a big egg in the basket that I had neglected to see when I pulled the teddy out. It was a Dairy Milk chocolate egg with the signature Cadbury purple wrapped around the outside. I was already excited at my findings and I hadn't even left my room yet. I grabbed my basket to do a preliminary scope of the house so that I wasn't really cheating, but I still had an advantage. We lived in a small two-story bungalow, so the Easter Bunny had to get creative when he was hiding the eggs. I did my rounds and then I went back to my room to figure out a plan so that I could beat my brothers to the eggs that were considered the more popular ones. So when I was back in my room, I must have fallen asleep with my new teddy because I was awoken by the sound of what sounded like chaos in the living room. My brothers had clearly woken up and beat me to some of those hiding spots that I scoped out before. So I decided to roll up my sleeves and try to get ahead of the game. I headed to the kitchen where I knew there was another large chocolate egg, but my brothers were not letting me get there alone. Instead, I was pulled into oblivion from the back of my pajamas, and I knew I was gonna lose it. Now, I want to say I blacked out and attacked them Chuck Norris style, but I turned to the quickest form of punishment. I cried for Dad. Darren and Kevin were so pissed at me, because we kind of always had this understanding that we just wouldn't narc on each other. Well, I can tell you that I most certainly used being the baby of the family as a weapon of mass destruction that Easter.
What's going on, everybody? This is CJ from the Christmas Sessions podcast. And Ashley reached out to the Christmas Podcast Network and wanted some people to record some of their Easter memories or best Easter memories. And one of my best Easter memories came in 1992 at the ripe age of, I believe, 6 at the time. Christmas had just passed and I wanted a Super Nintendo very badly. Didn't get it. Fine. You know, we didn't have a lot of money growing up. So I figured I would, you know, take a long shot. This was like a 3-point shot from the other side of the court. I was going to ask the Easter Bunny for a Super Nintendo. Didn't think in a million years I'd get it. And behold, I wake up Easter morning and there is chocolate and a Super Nintendo on my kitchen table. I almost fainted, honestly. I had to open up the box to make sure that it was actually in there and it wasn't a cruel joke. So yeah, growing up, that was probably one of my best Easter memories. But I think what Easter memory takes the cake is probably my daughter's second or third. It's when, you know, they're finally growing up and they can understand things and they can take them in and grasp them, and their excitement is just palpable. It made me feel like a kid again. They were so excited. I wouldn't trade those memories for anything. So my personal memory as a kid was the Super Nintendo, but you know, as an adult, it's watching my kids enjoy Easter as, you know, little toddlers, and it was just fantastic. So hope you guys enjoyed this recording. Ashley, great podcast, Bubba. We'll talk to you later.
Now, Easter holds a bit of nostalgia for me. mostly because I was able to spend some time with my family, and it was one of the few times that my brothers were held hostage by my parents and pretty much made them play with me, because it was a holiday and no one was allowed to come to our house if they weren't family. We would play mini sticks, and sometimes if I was lucky, they would let me play out, because often enough, I was used as the Felix Potvin goalie inserts for your net. I would get pelted with foam pucks all day, and I would never complain. Mini sticks turned into road hockey, and road hockey turned into bike rides. We would also play manhunt when we were up at my uncle's house. They lived backing onto the York Durham Forest, and we would often go walking, yes alone, in the forest. One year we even built a pretty cool fort. We brought hammers and nails and built a legit fort, enough that my carpenter uncle and my father both stepped in and added their touch to it. This was a fun place for us to retreat to, until one year a homeless person found it and scared the crap out of us, and then we never went back. As we grew up and we had less time together, our families got busy, and we were definitely busy with hockey. Those memories of the fort are definitely more than cherished now.
Hey Ashley and the rest of the Magic of the Season family, this is Charlie from Closer to Christmas. I just wanted to call in and tell you about one of my Easter memories I had as a child. I didn't go to too many Easter egg hunts, but I do remember one when I was around 5 or 6 years old. My mom took us to this empty field and it was an Easter egg hunt, and when we got there were no eggs anywhere and all the kids were confused, and then all of a sudden a helicopter flew over and just thousands of eggs just got dumped out of the helicopter into the open field, and then all the kids were able to run and just get everything that they could. And I do remember, out of all of the eggs that were dropped in the field, I did grab one that was one of the grand prize eggs. You open it up and there was a little note inside that said it was a grand prize. So we had to go to the mall, which was located right next door, and go into one of the stores. And the grand prize that I got was something nowadays that probably isn't that expensive. It's probably like a $15 or $16 basket that you could get at Walmart, ones that are already pre-made. But back in the 80s, you didn't see too much of that stuff. So as a 5 or 6 year old kid, I loved it when I got that. That was probably my prize possession that Easter. But I thought it was pretty fun and unique to have a helicopter fly over and dump eggs into an open field. And all the kids loved it. It was a great time. So thanks for everything you're doing over at Magic of the Season podcast, and I hope everyone out there has a great and happy Easter.
Needless to say, for the same reasons I love Christmas, I equally love Easter. It's the time that's spent with family, the ability to experience magic and wonder, and the joy of sitting in your room eating whatever chocolate you could possibly imagine. I want to thank my friends for taking their time to include their Easter memory in my episode. Anth, Julian, CJ, and Charlie, you guys are the best. Now I want to leave you guys off with a glimmer of Christmas, because who isn't counting down the days? This is a quote written by Little Jemmings. It's called, "The Season Isn't About Them." The people who have more and do more. My neighbors with the big pool, Jenny, who lights up the whole street with festive cheer, my great aunt Mavis and her very outspoken expectations, the highlight reel I scroll each day filled with all the things, the lady at work who spends thousands on her kids. The season's about me, me and mine. The season is about small moments of joy and big acts of kindness, togetherness, genuine happiness, and good health. It's about cheap gingerbread houses that look even better than they taste, mismatched wrapping paper, and carols in the park. The festive episodes of their favorite shows, chasing Santa in his fire truck, and finding Christmas beetles in your living room. It's about fostering the magic that will form their memories. This season is exactly how I've created it, for me and mine. The season is perfect, and they'll grow up remembering it that way. I want to wish you guys a very happy Easter. No matter how you guys celebrate, make sure that you celebrate with family.